Hear now God's words as spoken through Jeremiah. This is what the Lord Almighty, the God of Israel, says to all those I carried into exile from Jerusalem to Babylon. Build houses and settle down. Plant gardens and eat what they produce. Marry and have sons and daughters. Find wives for your sons and give your daughters in marriage so that they too may have sons and daughters. Increase in number there, do not decrease. Also, seek the peace and prosperity of the city to which I have carried you into exile. Pray to the Lord, because if it prospers, you too will prosper. Yes, this is what the Lord Almighty, the God of Israel, says. Do not let the prophets and diviners among you deceive you. Do not listen to the dreams you encourage them to have. They are prophesying lies to you in my name, and I have not set them, declares the Lord. This is what the Lord says. When 70 years are completed for Babylon, I will come to you and fulfill my good promise to bring you back to this place. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future. Then you will call on me and come and pray to me, and I will listen to you. You will seek me and find me. When you seek me with all your heart, I will be found by you, declares the Lord, and will bring you back from captivity. I will gather you from all the nations and places where I have banished you, declares the Lord, and will bring you back to the place from which I carried you into exile.
Our story from Jeremiah this morning carries us to the land of Babylon. The Jewish people live in desolation. The Assyrians conquered and scattered the northern kingdom of Israel. Now Babylon sacked the tiny kingdom of Judea and deported most of the population to Babylon. They had wiped the nation of Israel from the earth. Now assimilation into a foreign culture with foreign religions threatened the continued existence of the Jewish people as an identifiable ethnic group. Exile in Babylon was the place the Jewish people knew they did not belong. They belonged at home in God's promised land. But exile was the outcome of their willingly choosing to abandon the God of the promise. Babylon was the place of their discomfort. The promised land was home. They were comfortable there. They knew how to live off the land. They knew how to live with each other. They spoke the same language, ate the same foods, celebrated the same holidays, and at least in name, worshiped the same God. Nothing is comfortable in Babylon. They don't know the language. The food tastes strange. The Jewish festivals that gave restful rhythms in their lives are gone. And God has forbidden them to give themselves to other gods and religions. How will that work out in this strange place? these are desolate times for God's people. Will we survive? How will we survive? These were the questions that was top of mind for every Jewish person. The Jews tell us what desolate times were like in Psalm 137, 1 through 4. They said this: by the rivers of Babylon, we sat and wept. By the rivers of Babylon, we sat and wept when we remembered Zion. There on the poplars we hung our harps. For there our captors asked us for songs. Our tormentors demanded songs of joy. They said, sing us one of the songs of Zion. How can we sing the songs of the Lord while in a foreign land? These times of desolation were times of lament for God's people. What about our church family? What is our exile experience? The place we don't belong? The community, and I'm speaking of Sauk Village particularly, has changed around us in the last 50 years. It's sometimes easy to feel like we're exiles and we haven't moved anywhere, because where we are now, for most of us, is the place of our discomfort. The culture of Sauk Village is foreign to most of us. Sometimes we literally do not speak the same language. It's hard to feel at home in a foreign land. Our desolation has been top of our minds for years. Sometimes we hear the questions: will our church family survive? How will our church family survive? How can we sing the songs of Jesus in a foreign land? Our place of exile can and should be the place for our lament. For us, as it was for the Jews, lament is our healthy front runner to our journey to joy. Biblical lament teaches us how to grieve our losses, our disappointments, and our failures with hope in God's restoring goodness. When we lament, we simply allow the sadness in our hearts to come to our attention. We honor that sadness and grief by putting names to those emotions. We acknowledge their reality and do not pretend that they are there and try to live in the illusion that all is well. Then we ask Jesus, who lives in us, to come and be with us in our sadness, using words like these: Lord, you know I'm feeling so disappointed, and I'm grieved over our dear friends who have left our church family over the past years. Come, be with me, Lord Jesus, in my sadness and in my grief. Come and be with our church family as we grieve this disappointment together. I want to invite us as a church family now to take a moment for some silent lament as we sit in the Lord's presence together. I'm going to ask if you just close your eyes as I guide us through this time of silent prayer, and then we'll conclude praying together aloud a prayer of lament on our screens. Please just close your eyes and take a couple of deep breaths and calm yourself in the Lord's presence. Now, just allow your mind to think back over the past few years or however long it takes you back in our church family's past, and how we have come to where we are today. And be attentive, especially to the emotions of grief and sadness or loss that come to your heart and mind. What name would you give to those emotions? Some might be disappointment, sorrow, anger, disillusionment, stress, abandonment. In your own words, ask Jesus to come be with you in your sadness. And ask Jesus to be with our church family as we grieve these losses together. Would you join me in praying the prayer that's on the screen before us? Oh Jesus, you know every one of our sorrows. You know all our losses, Lord, and you grieve with us. We invite you into all that we are feeling this morning. We open the door to each of these sorrows and invite you into them with us. Come and be with us here. Grieve with us. Love us here in our sorrows. Lift our hearts and souls, for you are our healer, and you understand our broken hearts. Amen. Jesus understands our broken hearts and comes to heal them. Psalm 34:7 assures us the Lord is close to the brokenhearted and saves those who are crushed in spirit. When we're willing and we'll allow ourselves to pass through the gate of lament, then we're ready to join God in His journey to our joy. And on this journey, to our surprise, we find that God carries us from where we were to where we are. It is the Lord God Almighty who carries us in His arms. This is what the Lord Almighty, the God of Israel, says to you, Emmanuel Church. I carried you into the exile you feel today. You did not come to these times by accident. I brought you here. I, Almighty God, carried you from the place and the time that felt like home to you to this place and this time that can feel like exile to you. Yet I carried you here. It's another step on your journey where I will conform you, Emmanuel Church, into the image of Christ Jesus, your Lord. This refining process is exactly what you need to be my witnesses in Sauk Village, the surrounding communities, and all the way to the ends of the earth. You may not like where you are, but I carried you here for your well-being and for my glory. After God assures us we're not where we are by accident, but by His sovereign goodness, He lays out His clear path to joy. He tells us, build houses and settle down. This is a call both to activity and rest. Create a home in exile and rest contented where you are. Plant gardens and eat what they produce. This is a call to find and to cultivate the resources that will sustain our life as a church in this place. Now, the resources that were previously available for us will no longer sustain us. We must learn to cultivate and benefit from the place where we are and the time in which we live. The Lord Almighty calls us to build our church family in exile, to build a growing, flourishing church family, and specifically not to decrease the size of our family. When we're in uncomfortable times and places, the natural tendency is to shrink back and preserve what we have. Shrink back and preserve. Rather than looking, how do we leverage who we are and what we have to invite others into our family? Renee and I sort of experienced this personally when we were in Africa. We had two kids when we went there. And for some odd reason, because we were in Africa, we didn't have any more kids. That was our reason. We're in Africa. Why? Well, we were just trying to survive. We were trying to adjust. We were trying to... How do we live as a family in this strange place? And I distinctly remember one morning, just out of the blue, we just woke up and we sort of looked at each other and said, why haven't we had any more children? Simply because we live in Africa? Well, that's dumb. That's no good reason at all. But you see, we had shrunk back to preserve what we had. We had to preserve our energy. We had to figure it out. And then all of a sudden, by God's grace, He allowed us to wake up from our delusion. And by His mercy, we had Mark. And thank God we did. Our lives would have missed untold blessings had we not done so. In short, God calls us to create a little Eden where He plants us. See, this language in Jeremiah is Eden language. Hear the words from Genesis. God blessed them and said to them, be fruitful and increase in number. Fill the earth and subdue it. Can you hear the similarity between God's instructions to humankind in the Garden of Eden and to the Jews in Babylon? One of the things that we clearly see, though, is that the path of joy requires effort. Can we hear the activity of building, of plowing? Can we feel the sweat on our brows running down our faces, soaking our shirts as we labor to bring into being what is necessary for our well-being in this place, in this time? Can we smell the cooking fire smoldering? Can we taste the cooked vegetables and produce from the garden and the baked bread from the grain fields? It would be easy for us to say, oh, we want that. Well, we really want it. But we're too old. Too old, too few, and too tired. I don't think we're doing that. I do not think we're doing that as a church family. But the temptation is before us. And we must run from that. And run to Almighty God, our refuge, our strength, our fortress, our deliverer in the times of our trouble, the one who will bring us through our exile. God calls us to seek the peace and prosperity of Sauk Village, and to the extent possible, the surrounding communities. God calls us to pray for Sauk Village, because if Sauk Village prospers, Emmanuel will prosper. And we know that to be true, don't we? Because we've experienced the result, the reverse, I should say. As Sauk Village declined, we suffered in that decline. Now let's turn it around. We prayed to pray, and I am chief among sinners here, because I do not pray as I have not prayed as I should for Sauk Village. But we cannot extract ourselves from this place. We need to pray, ask God to burden our hearts for Sauk Village, because I guarantee you, if Sauk Village begins to prosper, our church family will begin to prosper too. It will. So may God help us in that, and I intend to make intentional efforts in that regard. Lord, help us. And a part of the plan of God's path is a warning. God, the Lord Almighty, warns us not to let, quote, spiritual people deceive us with a word from the Lord that is a lie, because it's contrary to what the Lord Himself has spoken to us. God tells us not to encourage these people to lie to us. That is, do not surround ourselves with people who will tell us only what we want to hear. Beware of people who claim there is a simple, easy way out of exile. There's just not. There's no five easy steps to this. There's no, if you do this, do that, and do that, and do that, everything's going to be great. No. It does not work that way. You see, because exile is never over until God says it's over. And He brings it about in His way and in His timing. Jeremiah 29, 4 through 9 is all about settling, becoming comfortable with who we are, where God places us. It's about committing ourselves to flourish, not survive. Committing ourselves to flourish where God has planted us. It's about committing ourselves to help a place, in a place and a time that we did not choose, and to help a people we did not choose to be among. It's about being faithful to the word of the Lord spoken to us in our desolation, in an uncomfortable place, while trusting God's sovereign goodness. For we do have God's promise of joy. The good news, Emmanuel, is that exile has an expiration date. We don't know what it is, but God does. And the expiration is on its way. We're one day closer to it than we were yesterday. And we're 1 year closer to it than we were last year at this time. Our expiration date is coming. God will come to us and fulfill his good promise to bring us home to the place where he created for us. Now, we do not know precisely what that means for us in this physical time, in this physical place, but we know exactly what it means for our future. Jesus said these words, "Do not let your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. My Father's house has many rooms. If that were not so, I would have told you, would I have told you that I am going there to prepare a place for you?" God continues his promise to us, saying, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you a hope and a future." Emmanuel, your exile is part of my plan for you. My plan to prosper you and not to harm you. Here's the plan. I'm giving you hope and the future. God's plans are completely good. Since God is sovereign, even that which feels hard, uncomfortable, depressing, painful, and even tragic, all of these are means of God's grace to us. It brings us to an experience of God's goodness that is necessary for our witness right here, right now, and for our eternal well-being, all for the glory of God. For we know that in all things, God works for the good of those who love him. For we know that in all things, everything, that which feels good, that which feels not good, God is working for our good. This is what we know. Do we believe it? Will we believe it? We begin to notice how God is moving in our exile when he begins to motivate us to call on him, probably out of a deep sense of longing and a and a desperation to see things get better. And then we begin to come to Him and to pray to Him. And we call on the Lord. Coming to Him and calling on Him go hand in hand. And usually these are signs of repentance and willingness to surrender to His will. And as we do that, God moves us even deeper and causes us to seek Him with our whole heart. And then we begin to find our rest in Him, being confident that He will bring us back from our captivity. And He is freeing us from our bondage to the ways of this world. Just as the river flowed through the Garden of Eden and sustained humanity and all creation, just as God gave Israel a land flowing with milk and honey, our Lord Jesus gives to us overflowing joy. Jesus calls out these words to us, Emmanuel Church family. Anyone who is thirsty may come to me. Anyone who believes in me may come and drink. For the scriptures declare, rivers of living water will flow from his heart. Are you thirsty? Come and drink. Let the rivers of living water flow, well up to overflowing in your heart. And you see, we are the place where living waters flow. And there are thirsty people all around us. People who need the living water of Christ. We just need to pray and ask God to show us how to invite them to come and find the water they need. Jesus makes this promise of overflowing Jesus' joy to us in the Gospel of John. He says, I have loved you. Even as the Father has loved me, remain in my love. When you obey my commands, you remain in my love. Just as I obey my Father's commands and remain in his love, I have told you these things so that you will be filled with my joy. My joy. Yes. Your joy, which is my joy, will overflow. Overflow. You know, what wonderful words. Jesus is saying, I love you in exactly the same way that the Father loves me. There's no difference. Now, if you will just remain in my love. And the way you do that is by obeying my commandments. There's no magic to this. If we want overflowing joy, if we want to experience the love of the Father for Jesus in our own lives, there's only one way. And that is to set our heart and our intent to obeying Him, just as He obeyed His Father. And it is in the obedience, our willing submission and obedience to Him, that we find joy, just as Jesus found joy. And remember, when Jesus said these words, He's on His way to the cross. Joy. And joy that overflows in us We can have it when we want it. Do we want it? For Emmanuel Church, we are living under the care of Jesus. Ephesians tells us, and God placed all things under his feet and appointed him to be head over everything for the church. Therefore, Emmanuel Church, we have joyful hope for our future. Our church family can have a joyful hope because we are living under the care of Jesus, who loves us with the same love of the Father for him. And therefore, our future cannot be anything but absolutely wonderful because we are encompassed in his care. As we conclude this morning, I want to ask you if you would just confess together with me, reading the words that are on the screen. Let's read these together. We live under the care of Jesus. Our story is in his hands. Our future is absolutely wonderful. One more time. We live under the care of Jesus. Our story is in his hands. Our future is absolutely wonderful. One more time with gusto. We live under the care of Jesus. Our story is in his hands. And our future is absolutely wonderful. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, come, Lord Jesus, and make it so.